providing insight and resources for your spiritual journey. Unity Online Radio.
Welcome to The Call of Spirit. Tune in to Possibility with ordained Unity minister, Reverend Evelyn Foreman. Our program features leaders, movers, shakers, and everyday people like you and me as they share with you those pivotal, defining moments when they heard Spirit's call and what it was like for them to tune in to something more. And now, Reverend Evelyn and our program, The Call of Spirit. Tune in to Possibility.
And good day. This is Reverend Evelyn Foreman with The Call of Spirit here at Unity Online Radio. You can find me on the World Wide Web at evelynforeman.com. Thanks for joining us today in Sacred Conscious Conversation. Programming information can be found at thecallofspirit.com. Now, our show today is live, but it's being recorded and will be archived. Podcasts and downloads are available 24/7 at unityonlineradio.org/thecallofspirit. Feel free to visit, download, and take the episodes with you so that you can enjoy them on the road or wherever your travels may lead you. As of this show, we've got just about 2.5 years of recorded interviews with people testifying about their journey of courage, of heart, of faith, of authenticity. This show is all about the spiritual journey of coming into our own beingness. I've spoken with some notable headliners like Dr. Wayne Dyer, Mark Nepo, and Miguel Ruiz Jr. We also feature everyday people like you and me doing extraordinary things to tell their inspiring stories about listening to their inner calling. So check us out, unityonlineradio.org/thecallofspirit. Tell your friends to tune in. So, all right, we're going to dive deep today in sacred dialogue about a topic that never really gets talked about, suicide. Now, you might be squirming already, but hold tight. I promise that this episode will meet you where you're at. It'll bring you higher in consciousness, and despite the sadness of this topic, it'll give you hope. It'll take you deeper in understanding the topic of what it would be like to live through and actually experience a tragedy of a loved one taking their own life, the magnitude of loss from one survivor's perspective, and that there is another side to this tragedy. So before we begin, as we customarily do, let us pray in before we start. So wherever you are, if you're at a place where you can close your outer eyes, I invite you to go ahead and very gently allow your eyes to close, so that you can open your inner eyes, your inner sight, inner vision. And taking a deep breath, begin to find that quiet place deep within you and simply breathe into it. We're simply taking a moment of pause in our day to return to our breath. This breath of ours lets us know that we are alive. Ah, and let that exhale come out, allowing yourself to go ever more inward. And as we breathe, we turn inward and we lean into stillness. Let us together release our outer concerns just for a moment. And if you're called to, go ahead and breathe it out. Let us sigh out if it calls. Allow the spirit of love, of God, of peace to fill your awareness. And as we are one with our breath, we are connected. We are one with the spirit that breathes us. We know that breathing is effortless. And we know that love permeates all. And anytime we call upon it, anytime we call upon love, we know that it is the healing, harmonizing, energizing power of God, of love, to be present right here, right now, with breath. It is love that connects us, As we bring our loved ones to mind, to heart, we know that our consciousness brings us present to that love. And so for all that conspires for us to open to love, we are grateful. We know that we are ever always connected through the healing power of love, and we lean into that. And so we breathe now fully and embrace the power of love in our lives, present in every situation. Our hearts are filled with gratitude as we choose to trust, knowing that we allow love to be present. And as we allow love to be present, perfect results are unfolding now. As we allow love to be present, perfect results are unfolding now. And so I declare this affirmation as law, and it is so. And so it is. Amen and amen. And so our guest and co-host today, listeners, is Yvonne Williams-Kaus. She is an everyday woman, a mom, a wife, an author, a healer, counselor, and play therapist. She is an independently licensed clinical mental health counselor and a mental health professional. Her expertise runs the gamut, helping others address issues like depression, post-traumatic stress, abuse, rape, grief, and so much more. She's been in practice for over a decade, for over 11 years, and has had her share of trauma, one of which we're going to be talking about today, living the experience of losing a loved one by them taking their own life. So I want to pause because this topic is a serious topic. I can't imagine anything more urgent than suicide. And yet, as I look at Yvonne's credentials, and I know her personally, and her spirit is so lighthearted, having lived this path, it's noted that she's a registered play therapist. I love that. And I see this as a great contrast and a great conversation starter. And so I want to say welcome to you, Yvonne. Thank you so much for being here on the show.
Thank you, Evelyn. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes. And so, you know, the idea of being a play therapist versus the juxtaposition, the contrast of what you went through. Can you talk us a little bit about that and how that came to be and why play therapy? What about that calls to you?
Well, I was called to be a therapist. I share in my book that I was actually an engineer before, and I had a calling to change my career to a therapist and counselor. And I really had a calling to work with children, and when I learned about play therapy, it just spoke to me because children speak the language of play. And so that is how I was drawn to it. Mm-hmm. And it just works out that what happened to me when I lost my husband, he actually passed away the day after I graduated from getting my master's degree in counseling. Mm-hmm. And so I was already called to be a play therapist, so it just spoke to me in that way.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine that, you know, when something devastating like that happens, is there any inclination to want to play?
Well, I think so, yes, because we all kind of revert back to the little child inside of us. We all do whenever we have tragedy or any kind of hurt. We always sort of revert back to the little girl, little boy inside of each of us. And so,
right.
Yes, we all want to go back and play.
Okay, so talk to me about play therapy. I know that you work with children, and some of the children that you work with have probably gone through some traumas, some more than others. How does play therapy integrate with your treatment? What is the treatment for some of us who don't know?
Oh, well, for play therapy, it is children speak the language of play. That is their language. That's how they learn. And so we just use play as a way to help them process their trauma. So children just intuitively know when they come into my room, they know they can work on their trauma. And they will just come right in and, you know, usually they just have this intuition that that's what they're here to do. And so they will play things out. They work out their trauma. They they play it out not with words necessarily, but through metaphor. And so that is how it all sort of relates, because I do believe we all live through metaphor, we play through metaphor. You know, that's why I feel so strongly, I felt the metaphor of water, because we all are connected.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to talk about your book. You had said that you started as an engineer, and then, you know, of course, you ended up being a therapist to what you are today. So share a little bit more, Yvonne, about your path of how that all came to be, how you went to school for one track and then something else happened, and here you are today.
Okay, well, yeah, I started out being an engineer. I actually did work for NASA for a short period of time, and I was a satellite engineer, and that's actually where I met my husband. He was a software engineer, and I just had this calling, you know, I just felt it, a whisper, and then I was just drawn to go and change my career, so I just went back to school and got my master's, totally changed my career. Everyone thought I was crazy, but I did it anyway.
Well, so what was that calling?
But I felt called to do it, and when I did do it, it felt so right. I just knew that was where I belonged, and I love being a therapist. I love being there for people, helping them hold their pain and their trauma and seeing them grow and heal. And so that's the thing is I had my own trauma through that. You know, I lost my husband, like I said, right after I graduated. So I had to learn how to do that myself. I had to go to counseling, and I got treated for trauma. I was treated with EMDR, and that stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy. And that helped me so much that I wanted to become trained in it myself. And so that's how I ended up being an EMDR therapist. And in the process of doing that, though, I felt another calling to write a book. And I have to share, I never aspired to be an author. That was never something I thought I wanted to do. But I just had this call. I felt like I had to. And so that is the other thing that happened. I just felt like I had to write this book for a few years now. And then just recently, I just went to a retreat and just wrote it all out. So that's what's happened. And in that process, I have really grown. I really feel like it's helped me heal. And I feel that the reason I was called to do this is because we do need to talk about suicide. I did not want to share my story when I was writing. I was very resistant to it. But I think the reason I was called to do it is because we need to talk about it. We need to take the shame out of it. We need to help people listen. Because, you know, I was looking at statistics. By the way, this Saturday, September 10th, is World Suicide Prevention Day. And so
perfect.
One of the things...
Perfect coincide dates.
Yes, yes. So one of the things that's happening is this Saturday, if you light a candle all around the world at 8 p.m., it's just to symbolize that we are all connected and we all help each other. Because, you know, there's over 800,000 people that die from suicide every year. That's about one death every 40 seconds. So this is something we do need to talk about.
Yeah.
And so this is why I feel I was called.
I think it's fabulous that as you're just listening to what's yours to do, things sort of unfold and it helps other people in the process. I think that's marvelous. Sure is a different track than engineering, I bet.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But I also feel that was part of the path, too. It just led me to this point.
So if you don't mind, Yvonne, I'd love for you to share with our listeners just the unfolding of this story. I mean, one day it's a normal day, and then another day it's a big loss. So if you're willing to embellish us on that, share with us what the experience was like for you.
It is such a shock to the system that I don't even know how to put it in words. It was just a normal day. I was, you know, visiting with my husband, laying on the grass under the tree, and visiting. My friends had been were having a going away party the night before because they were moving to Arizona. So I was. It was a Sunday morning. I was laying on the grass with my husband, talking about the party. We were laughing. I went to have a last-minute lunch, you know, goodbye lunch with my friends, and he stayed there and mowed the grass. And when I came home, he had been drinking, and we got in an argument. And he went to his room, to our room, and closed the door, and I just thought he was going to go to sleep. But that's not what happened. He ended up, you know, taking his life. And I shared more of the details and not all the horrible part, but my whole life got taken away at that moment. Everything was taken away. It was such a tragic loss. I mean, it's just like your whole world just crumbled. I truly felt shattered, as if I had just been shattered into broke pieces everywhere. And I share some of that in the story of my book, is that I was a zombie for a long time. I just sort of went through the motions. I wasn't fully aware of what was happening around me. You know, I really had to learn how to live again and how to be present so I could be there for my children and how to be there for my family. And also doing that, I think, is what helped me be a better therapist, because I understand that we need those dark moments of the soul to help us get to the light, to help us come to the other side, to the light of life. Mm-hmm. And so I realize that now, that those dark moments, and when we all have those deep, depressing moments, and we have those horrible thoughts that the world would be better off without us, that that's not true. They're just it's like being a butterfly in the cocoon. It's just your time and transformation. You're healing and transforming and growing, and that you will come out to the other side.
So share with us how you picked up the pieces. I wanted to give just a voice for you to just, you know, share with us how you went on, despite feeling like a zombie. Were there others around to help you? Was there inner processing going on? Was there inner dialogue? Did you continue talking with your spouse through this? You know, on an energetic level, of course.
It was all of those things. I really feel that I was supported, like a safety net of love from my own family and friends and people I didn't even know that prayed for me and sent me love. I truly believe that they carried me. And of course, God is it. We were just carried, not just me, but my family, my children, my parents, siblings, everyone that loved my late husband, everyone that loved Timothy. I feel that we just had this sort of safety net. And so, yes, my family and friends, they got me through it. I have memories of family driving me to counseling and a place I worked at, letting me work a few days a week until I could get strong enough to work full time. I mean, I had so much support. And, of course, counseling. And another thing that really helped us was the Children's Grief Center in New Mexico. That was a very helpful thing for myself and my kids. So anybody that's ever had a loss, ever suffered a loss, I would highly recommend going to them. And, of course, counseling. And, you know, trying to reconnect with my spirit. I share that I felt like we all have this umbilical cord to God, and that we choose sometimes to cut that off, but it's always there. And so I had felt cut off, but once I realized that it was always there and I opened back up to it, I felt the connection again.
Right. So there must have, well, when you found your husband, you know, and the event happened, you lost the connection. What was it that made you feel, you know, you need to connect back? Was there something that happened, or was it just a progressive knowing that that's what you needed to do?
It was just a knowing that I needed to do that. I think the reason I felt disconnected was because I was so angry. I couldn't understand how that could happen to me. I had this belief that if I was a good person, nothing bad would happen to me. You know, so I was so angry at God, like, how could this happen to me? And so once I was able to work through that anger and realize that God has always loved me, I mean, I love my children when they're mad at me, so of course God loved me even when I was mad at him, or mad at her, whatever you want to call it.
Right. How old were your children at the time?
7 years old and 2 years old.
Oh, wow. Such a pivotal age, both of them. I want to get deep into just the processing of it. Because I think that when we talk about a topic like suicide, and we really share from our heart space what is true for us, what is going on for us, it gives others permission to process it. So I want to know more about your processing of your husband taking his own life. I mean, what came up for you aside from anger? Did you feel guilty? Was there grief? And what degree was it? Can you talk a little bit more about that so that our listeners can relate to what you went through?
Sure. There are so many emotions that come with grief, and it comes in waves. I had all of those. I had anger. I had huge amounts of guilt. And because I used to feel like such a hypocrite, like, what kind of counselor has a husband that committed suicide? I mean, I really struggled with guilt for a long time. And that one was the one. I had to really learn how to forgive myself. I think that was the hardest one of all, honestly, of all the things I went through. But yes, anger, sadness, depression, bargaining, all those things that they talk about with grief, they do happen to you, and they come in waves, and they don't come in order. I used to wish so much for a rule book or a guide, but there isn't one. It comes, like I said, it comes in waves. You can be okay for 1 minute, and the next hour you're a bawling mess. Then the next hour you're okay, and then you're laughing. And then the next hour you can feel guilty for laughing. So there's so many emotions that can come with grief. And now I know that, and I've learned that, and I accept that now when I do have those emotions, that it's okay. That's what I want to share with people, that those things are supposed to happen, and they're okay. You need to feel that way. It's okay to feel that way.
Okay, so as a therapist, tell us, I get the grieving, I get the sadness and the anger and the guilt, and that it's okay to feel like a big ball of mess. And what I heard you say, that it's supposed to happen. So articulate and share with us, why are they supposed to happen? Why can't we just shelf it and put it away? What happens?
We can't shelf it. I have that conversation all the time. We need those things to happen so that we can process it, so we can learn from it. If we just put it away on the shelf, it'll come back and bite you 10 times worse, 100 times worse. You know, one metaphor I like to use is if you were to try and shove a huge yoga ball underwater. I mean, the more you try to push it down, the faster it's going to come up and explode on you. You just can't. You have to work on those feelings. It's better to take it out a teaspoon at a time than to let it flood you with emotions.
So what would you say to someone who's fearful of the emotional process?
Don't be afraid of it. Just let it happen. Surrender to it. It will pass. Just let it happen, and you will get to the other side. Know that this is part of the journey, part of the process. It is really what helps you get to the light of life. It really is. Mm. And don't be afraid of it.
Right. So something happens in our life. We're a big ball of mess. It's okay to be this way. And it's even healthy to process it, let it run its course. And then at the end of that, where are we?
As you come out of that, you become stronger. You become full of energy and light. I mean, you can feel the love as you become through that, as you come out of that. That's why I said I always use the metaphor of a butterfly, because you transform. You can really get your wings and you can fly. You will change. I mean, the caterpillar thinks their life is over until they become a butterfly.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So it's part of the transformational process, and it sounds like, and I'm using my own words, so I always do that. I hear something and then I regurgitate it in my own words, like, you allow this to happen and you come out of it and you become transformed. Sort of, I'm a visual person. So what I see is, you know, you kind of walk through the fire and you become cleansed through this process of emotional release almost. And from what I hear from you is that you become probably a better version of yourself because you've let go a lot of the stuff that you needed to let go. Is that pretty accurate? Is there more?
Yes, that's a beautiful way to describe it. Yes, that's exactly right. You become now, who you truly are.
Who you truly are. Beautiful. So then if we don't lean into our own pain, we cover it up. But if we do lean into our own pain, despite the scathing hurt, the fear, the gravity of it, we find ourselves in the process.
Yes, and don't be afraid to ask for help. Asking for help is a strength. We heal in relationship, and so that's why therapy is so powerful, because you are doing it in relationship with another person that can help you go through that transformation.
And can hold that space. That. Yeah.
Yes. So connecting and asking for help is a strength.
Right. And, you know, I've heard this just by way of conversation somewhere that, you know, most therapists undergo therapy. So is that pretty accurate? And if so, tell us why.
Well, for me it is, absolutely. I wouldn't have grown and be where I am right now if I hadn't gone through my own healing. So I think everyone should go through therapy because we can all have support. We all have things to process. We all want to grow and heal. But definitely I think it's good for all therapists to go through therapy.
Right. And I can't agree with
you. I've gone several times throughout the years, so...
Yeah, I mean, I can't agree with you more, because if you don't go through your own treatment, if you don't undergo your own stuff, how would you be strong enough to hold the space for another person?
So yeah, that's right.
I think
and
it's
my children, they've done it too. I think it's powerful. So.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's sort of like a reset, a way to sort of step back and talk it out and look at things from a different perspective.
That's right. It helps you reframe what you're thinking. And yeah. What I learned from an older supervisor I used to have is sometimes children come back when they're older and we call it a tune-up. They just come in for a tune-up. They just needed to come and talk something over, work it out, and then that's it. They don't need to keep coming.
Sounds good. Tune-up and oil change and
that
good stuff, right?
You know, the thing is, we take better care of our car sometimes than ourselves. Like, we fill up our gas tank every week, but we don't do self-care and fill ourselves up.
Right, and it's like, you know, that old paradigm of thinking, oh, you're going to see a therapist, you must be, you know, the word, quote, crazy. But, you know, actually, I think people who are in therapy are probably more sane than people who resist it. And that's probably more accurate than I even know, right?
Yeah, I absolutely think that's true.
Right. So it's just about time for a studio break. And when we come back, I want to talk more about people who have survived suicide. What do they need to know about guilt and how to process it, how to deal with all the stuff that comes up, just a little bit more depth. This is Reverend Evelyn Forman. You can find me at evelynforman.com. We're talking today with therapist and author Yvonne Williams-Kaus, author of the new book titled A Drop of Water, A Spiritual Journey. When we come back, we'll talk even more about her spiritual journey of living through the tragedy of a loved one taking his own life. And maybe we will be blessed to have Yvonne share some lessons she's learned along the way. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Unity Online Radio brings you inspiring programs on a variety of spiritual topics. Giving to the network is now easier than ever. Simply text Unity Radio to 72727 from your smartphone. You can make a one-time or recurring donation. Your gifts help us offer enriching spiritual programs that reach listeners around the world. Text Unity Radio to 72727. Thank you for your support.
Are you ready to live in joy? Is there an area of your life where you could use a miracle? Have you been praying for help and guidance? Come join Lisa and Bill and their guests for an hour filled with practical tips on experiencing miracles, greater abundance, focused, deliberate living, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Experience more joy in life. Listen to Living in Joy, Reflections on A Course in Miracles with Lisa Natoli and Bill Free every Friday at 2 p.m. Central here on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you ready for deeper spiritual breakthroughs? Have you wondered how to apply spiritual principles to your everyday life in practical ways? Do you feel your soul is calling you to deeper purposes? Join Reverend Galen McDowell live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central for Truth Transforms, a discussion on how God within you, as you, is the power to transform your life. If you really believe that consciousness determines your experiences and that you are an individualized expression of God, join us as we help awaken and transform the consciousness of humanity. We will discuss, through lecture, live interviews, and call-in questions, spiritual healing, prayer, prosperity, forgiveness, new thought views about eternal life, and much more. The world is waiting for your truth transformation, only on Unity Online Radio.
I feel the call of something more. I feel the call of something I've never felt before. I feel the call.
You're listening to The Call of Spirit. Tune in to Possibility. Our program features open-hearted, connected, conscious dialogue about defining moments of clarity and inner guidance. We now return to The Call of Spirit.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Call of Spirit. Tune into Possibility here at Unity Online Radio. Please support this ministry and donate at unityonlineradio.org. Now, the call of spirit may appear in different ways for different people. Sometimes it's a gentle nudge. We hear this still small voice like the slight breeze on our skin. Other times it comes with a roar. It is the universe pointing us in the direction that we need to go, calling on our hearts to open and move toward what we are to do, which may be radically different than we ever have done before, that we've done in the past, or that we expect to do. Our hearts may begin to palpitate. We feel alive. And when we follow the call, it happens. You know, what calls to us is our purpose in life. And so we begin our journey home to our true essential selves. And on this path, we learn and discover along the way why we were born. We become clear, aligned, engaged, and vitally alive. Things that never made sense become crystal clear. When we listen to the call of spirit, we literally tune in to possibility and we take our heart's path home. This is precisely the message of this show, and I welcome you if you are just tuning in. This is Reverend Evelyn Foreman, and I have with me on the show Yvonne Williams Kasaus, and I mispronounced your name as Kaus earlier, and I apologize. So welcome back, Yvonne. Are you still with me, dear?
Yes, I sure am.
Wonderful. Did I get that spell, that pronunciation correct?
You sure did. Thank you.
Oh, good. Hey, okay, great. So I want to continue talking about our topic today. And for those of us who've maybe it's fresh, you know, something has happened in our life that someone has committed, experienced the commitment of suicide, and you're left behind. What is it that you need to know to help you process this tragedy in your life?
I'm trying to think how to answer that.
Should I ask it in a different way?
Well, you know, Suicide can be impulsive, and so it can happen so quickly that when you are the one left behind, that you are the one who holds the pain. So that's the thing I tell people, is to remember that suicide doesn't take the pain away, it gives it to someone else. So if you are feeling suicidal or having those dark thoughts or considering it, remember that the pain you're feeling, if you follow through with it, you're going to give that to others. And I know you don't want to do that. And so the ones that are left behind are the ones that hold on to the guilt and the pain and feel like, what could I have done differently? You know, they go through that whole bargaining. If only I had been a better wife, mother, father, sister, brother, friend, what could I have done to prevent it? And sometimes there isn't anything. But, you know, most of all it takes is just reaching out, you know, asking for help, listening in a non-judgmental and supportive way. And, you know, the message that I wanted to say is that to remember we're all connected, all of us, we're all connected. So when you're in pain and you hurt yourself, you're hurting all those that you love around you and all those that love you.
Share with us, I picked up on what you said about connection and, you know, just for the namesake of your book and in honor of your book, you talk about water. Talk a little bit more about that so that we can relate to that.
Okay, well, during the process of writing my book, you know, I was writing it and I guess it's what I now know is called stream of consciousness writing, where I was just writing with my eyes closed, my fingers were just stamping on the keyboard, and I was writing about water, and I didn't know why, but now I now understand why I was writing about water. It's because water is a way that we can understand that we are all connected. You know, we can all relate to water. Of all the 8 billion species on Earth, that's the one thing we all have in common, is water. There's 7 billion people of all different cultures, races, ages, genders, you name it, and one thing we all have in common is water. So that's something that we can all relate to, we can all connect to. So what I realized in writing is that when you're feeling alone or feeling like there's nobody there for you, if you could just, you know, reach out and drink some water, take a shower, take a bath, know that we're all connected. We're all one drop of water and we're all the ocean of water. And so that's how I felt that we could get out of depression, is to remember that we're all connected. Because I really think when we're feeling that way, when we're feeling in those dark moments, suicidal or feeling like the world would be better off, those kind of crazy thoughts that we think, that if you can remember that we are connected, it might help you get through the next hour. And if you can get through the next hour, you can get through the next day.
That's beautiful. And so, having experienced what you did, was there a period where it was difficult for you to let go?
To let go of the pain?
Well, when your husband first committed suicide, I haven't lived through that, so I'm assuming that there was a lot of pain, and so there was probably a mourning period and attachment. And so my question is, how did you connect with him and at the same time release and let go? What was that process of dealing with that like for you?
Mm-hmm. I think it's through several journeys. Like I said, it kind of comes in waves throughout the years. There'll be times where I feel like I've truly forgiven him and forgiven myself, and then another wave would hit. And so, See, that's, again, the metaphor of water came back for me, because it does hit like that. There are moments where, you know, it's just part of the journey. Sometimes you feel like you can handle things, and then there's other times it just takes you out of nowhere. So letting go, I think, I don't know that there's a part that I will ever truly be let it go of it. Like, it's still a part of me. It doesn't define me, but it's part of my story. Mm-hmm. It is part of how I'm here and how I came to be right here. It gave me, you know, going through that tragedy is what brought me to this moment right here.
Right. And so have
and
you...
helping me help others.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the gift in all of this, that you've taken this event in your life that was traumatizing and have processed it, and you're able to use it as a gift to sort of share with others, process their own stuff, whatever it is. Have you come to a place of connecting with your late husband in a way that is peaceful, or, you know, how is it that you connect to his spirit? And how long has it been? That's a good question too, right?
It's been over 11 years now. And okay. I connect with him in different ways. And for sure, I feel his presence, like when I'm out in the ocean and I feel the sun in my face, I feel him there very, very profoundly. And I feel at peace. Like I share some of the things in my book, like whenever I see a butterfly out of season, I just know that that's him, you know, sending a message or letting me know he's there. Or my cousin, I also share the loss of my cousin, who was more like my sister. She died tragically in a car accident. I feel her quite often. She's like the sun to me, you know. I really feel that she can be with us all the time. And I feel her presence so strongly when I wrote the book. I feel her now. I just feel that they are there supporting me. I have a huge support. I have a lot of angels in my life that are living and non-living, and they all support me. Mm. So I do feel peace now with that. But it took a long time. I mean, I don't think it's something easy. I think it just takes time, and it's a journey. And, you know, I like to think of it like the infinity symbol. Like, there's times where it feels good, and then it comes down, and it feels like, oh, it's so painful again, and then it'll come back up, and you'll feel good again. I mean, that's just the cycle of life. And just knowing that you will come out of it again.
Mm. Do you have others sort of in your life who are processing this, like your children? How are they doing, you know, 11 years later?
I think they're doing remarkably well. They both are. They have, gone through things throughout the years. As we hit different developmental stages, they had to process things differently. Watching them help me go through my own stuff, as they had to process and hit each of the different developmental stage, they understood things in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Did it affect them?
Very intuitive. Oh, of course it did. They both struggled with different things and pain and loss and, you know, anxiety and feelings of guilt. And they are both remarkable. My son is so incredible right now. He's going to college and he wants to be a doctor. And my daughter is just so amazing and creative, and she too wants to be a doctor. So we'll see what happens. I have my other children, and they are so amazing too. I feel like I have all these children that were born in my heart that I was just meant to be in their life, and they were meant to be in mine. And even if I didn't carry them in my womb, they're my children. I get to be a mother to so many people, especially even in my practice. I get to do that with all these children I love, so I just feel so blessed.
It sounds like you live with an abundance of blessings, and it sounds like you've gotten to a place where love is present, and that there's light and joy and life, and what comes to mind, as I was sharing with you, I'm a visual person, it's just like a meadow, a field where there's bright sunshine. It's not like that all the time because this is not life, right? So, you know, you've come to a place where you're happy, it sounds like.
Yes, I am. I'm so happy. I feel so blessed.
It's a journey that has truly affected you. And would you even say that it's healed you in some ways?
Yes, I would say that. I mean, sometimes we have to learn lessons in painful ways. And, angels come to us in different forms to teach us different lessons. And I feel that that was what it was, that the lesson I learned from my experience in losing him was that I had to learn to love myself. And and learning to love myself has allowed me to love so many more, so many people. I'm so in love with my current husband, Craig. I love all my children. I love my family. I just feel so loved. I love all my clients. I feel so honored that I get to be there and hold the space for them and watch them grow. And I learn from them, too. So, yes, in a way, I do feel that that experience helped me to grow and become who I really am.
Mm. And yet this is just the beginning, because the book, who knows what comes next, right?
That's right. I already have another book in works, but it's a fiction. So.
Oh, you know, tell us more about that. That sounds exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my next, I guess I just wanted to get this one out first, but the next one is going to be fiction. And, you know, I always joke that I was going to write about vampires, and here it is. It's
wow.
A love triangle about vampires.
I can't wait to see this get printed.
Yes, it's because I work with so many adolescents. I've always loved, juvenile fiction, so it just came right out of me, the second book. So I'm excited. Yeah, here's a whole new path that I never expected to be on.
I think that's wonderful. And, I think children are amazing. They are our future. They are the next generation, and they're going to basically take over the world. And so the work that you do with children, the recovery work, the healing work, helping them to process through play and, I think of play and I think of laughing and being authentic and, just letting your light out. I can just imagine so many children that you've healed just because they've been in your presence and in your care. You're able to be there for them because you have done the heavy lifting, that you were able to process whatever journey you were called to be on and meet it in the eye. I think that's really amazing, Yvonne, that you've done so, and that you were able to birth a book and a story in a way that would help so many others in the process. So thank you.
Thank you so much. While you were saying that, it got to mind that I was enjoying the process so much that I was laughing at myself. So that's why I named my publishing company Laughing at Myself. And my website is laughingatmyself.lol. So,
there you go. And that's how we find you. Laughing at myself.
Right.
And that is a very unique website address. I didn't know they made
dot
LOLs. That's wonderful.
No. Mm-hmm.
So,
find me there.
Say that again, dear.
I said you can find me there at laughingatmyself.lol.
Perfect. And your book is available.
It is available now, yes. My official launch date is tomorrow, but it is now live on Amazon.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It is called A Drop of Water, A Spiritual Journey, and I would love it if anybody would read it and write a review. I would really appreciate that. It means so much to me, and I really hope it helps people.
I'm sure it will. I've read your story, and I think it's just amazing. So we have about a couple of minutes left on the show, Yvonne. Is there any message or anything on your heart that you'd like to share with our audience at this time?
I just know, and I know you do as well, that we can all overcome profound tragedy. We can all overcome grief and depression, and we can all learn to support, encourage, and heal each other because we are all connected.
Yes.
And I wanted to remind everyone to light a candle this Saturday at 8 o'clock and let everyone know that we are all connected worldwide. We're going to do that, okay?
I think that's beautiful. Thank you so much for being here on our show and for sharing your insight and your beautiful story and your book itself.
Thank you so much, Evelyn.
Yes, and this is Reverend Evelyn Forman. You're listening to The Call of Spirit. Tune in to possibility here at Unity Online Radio. Now, if there's ever a quiver, a knocking on your heart, it may be Spirit's call. And when we tune in and listen, all kinds of possibilities become available. Whatever emotions we're processing could be the blessings in disguise to help us sort of come home to ourselves, to our authentic heart. If you've had a spiritual experience and would like to share your story with us, please write to us and let us know all about it. Please direct your email to my assistant, Emma. Her email address is emma@thecallofspirit.com. You can find me at my website at www.evelynforeman.com. That's EvelynForeman. And yes, I am on Facebook, and my Facebook address is simply facebook.com/REVEvelynForeman. And this is Reverend Evelyn Forman with the Call of Spirit, reminding you to breathe, to connect, and to remember the essence of your being, wholly connected to those you love and to love itself. And so let's, as we have a couple minutes, let's turn that into an affirmation. I am wholly connected to those I love and to love itself. And I would invite you to affirm that with me. I am wholly connected to those I love and to love itself. Again, I am wholly connected to those I love and to love itself. Remember this as you listen to your call of spirit and as you tune in to possibility. Have a great day. I feel the call of something more. I feel the call of something I've never felt before. I feel the call. Thank you for listening to the Call of Spirit. Tune in to Possibility with Reverend Evelyn Forman. When we surrender and lean in to that something more, everything shifts. Join us on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Central for more inspirational, heart-centered stories that will uplift, connect, and move you toward your higher calling in life. To learn more about our ministry and upcoming guests, please visit us online at thecallofspirit.com.
Sometimes life can seem like a jigsaw puzzle. Even if we think we have a clear picture of what we want, we may become overwhelmed in our efforts to fit all the pieces together. Although each of our lives may look different on the outside, what we are all striving to create is the same, peace of mind. We mistakenly think that peace will be ours once we have fit all the pieces of our lives into place. But peace isn't dependent on outer circumstances, and it's not something that must be finished. It's a work in progress within each of us. If I want to picture peace clearly, I look within myself. The peace I've been missing is there. Peace can begin with me.
To find a Unity Church near you, please visit our website at www.unity.org.
Does music open your heart and bring you peace and joy? Experience the sacredness of sound with Ramdesh Kaur as we travel the world of mantra, kundalini yoga, and devotional music. Join us for a journey into spirit, Thursdays at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern on Spirit Voyage Radio with Ramdesh. Only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Of spiritually conscious living start now. For a time-tested method to live with purpose and release your infinite potential, tune in to the Yoga Hour, Living the Eternal Way, with Yogacharya Ellen Grace O'Brien, every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Pacific, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
You know the saying, a good deed is its own reward? Well, moving toward a plant-based diet and vegan lifestyle is one kind and compassionate act that isn't just its own reward. It will also reward you with vibrant health, boundless energy, an easy way to keep your weight where you want it, and according to yogis and Unity's co-founder Charles Fillmore, even give a boost to your spiritual life. On Main Street Vegan, the radio program named for the popular book, Victoria Moran will make your move in a vegan direction easy, fun, affordable, and delicious. With enticing topics and entertaining guests every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Central Time, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Somewhere, tucked away in the Unity Library archives in Unity Village, Missouri, you can find a secret treasure. They are the scripts from Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore's early days on broadcast radio. The teachings of Unity's founders, almost 100 years old. Now, for the first time in history, you can hear them through the power of the Internet. Join Bob Brock every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, for Unity Classic Radio, Words from Our Past. Discover the wisdom of Charles Fillmore's talks and of other Unity radio speakers read on the air again. Call in your comments and questions as Bob and his special guests revisit Unity radio talks of the past, along with historical background from the early days of the Unity movement. That's Unity Classic Radio, Words from Our Past, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you ready to live in joy? Is there an area of your life where you could use a miracle? Have you been praying for help and guidance? Come join Lisa and Bill and their guests for an hour filled with practical tips on experiencing miracles, greater abundance, focus, deliberate living, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Experience more joy in life. Listen to Living in Joy, Reflections on A Course in Miracles with Lisa Natoli and Bill Free every Friday at 2 p.m. Central here on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Notice how the funniest things happen when we stop taking ourselves too seriously and step out boldly? Listen to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed as these unlikely saints administer a refreshing dose of laughter and love that will inspire you to step out boldly and experience the funniest things. Join the discussion with Daryl and Ed live every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Central Time on Funniest Thing, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Every moment we live can be holy, and all we need to do to experience that state is to make the decision to do so. Everything we do can be a prayer, and by using our innate creativity with intention in every aspect of our lives, that can indeed be true. Author Carla Kincannon wrote, "Creativity is so much more than art making. It is a tool for navigating through everyday experiences to find the sacred in each God-given moment." Discover Creative Spirit, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Central Time, and experience the joy of connecting to spirit through creative expression.